October 13th, 2006. Scary questions, comforting answers. If I didn't have a cancerous lump in my left breast at this time, I'd be waxing eloquent about the flock of five Canada geese, plus one snow goose, lolling about on our pond in the meadow. Or maybe I'd be recalling last Sunday's walk in the woods with my husband Paul, the paths covered in the gold coinage of aspen leaves. Or if I was really stuck for a topic, how I wrapped our goat Lucky's cracked horn with duct tape. While all of the above was part of my life this past weekend, the topic is, as it was last week, breast cancer awareness. 'Tis the month for it. And not so coincidentally, 'tis also something I personally know way more about than I did just a month ago. Part of what I know is purely about me, but part is something I think any woman facing this disease can use. By the time this column is printed, Lord willing, I can count myself among the vast group of women I have just barely begun to know, breast cancer survivors. 2 days of tests and consultations at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester pointed me to surgery on October 11th at nearby Methodist Hospital. As I write this, just a bit over 2 days before that surgery, I can hardly believe the words I see popping up on the computer screen of my laptop. But the words are real, and this is really happening to me. Last week, I wrote about finding the lump, getting the diagnosis of cancer, following my instincts to be treated at the Mayo Clinic, and of getting acquainted with my new best friends, the survivors of breast cancer. Thank you, Lila, Pam, Kathy, Alice, Diane, Phyllis, Sue, and those I have yet to meet. Connecting with all of you is a huge comfort, but still, a big, fearsome question, like the shadow of a wendigo in the winter woods, lurked beyond my initial diagnosis. It was in our friend's driveway in Grand Marais, when we were dropping off our lab scout, that I first spoke the name of that new fear. My friend Dan said he had a scare once a few years back. Fortunately, nothing more than a scare. And before any tests were in, he'd already read enough literature to confirm in his mind that he was riddled with cancer. Saying this, he grinned at me in a way that clearly said, "Come on, you've done that too, right?" And I laughed out loud, blathering that of course I'd done that, and why not? Then either Dan or his wife, one of my very best buddies, went a step farther into my self-created spook house and asked if I decided who would deliver my eulogy. I paused, only a little taken aback. "No, but I've decided who won't deliver it," I said, spitting out a few familiar names. At that, Paul hooted, and we all joined in, giggling in the sunshine over our non-uniqueness and dispelling the bugaboo that to have a thought means it's true. However, finding out what was true, that I had a clean bone scan and clear lungs, took another day and a half. The internist Mayo assigned me to at the breast cancer clinic ordered the bone scan because I voiced my fears. She also ordered blood work, chest x-rays, ultrasounds of my lymph nodes, and a biopsy of a teensy lump in my other breast. All results were good. So I go into this surgery with high hope. While there's still a chance of cancer cells showing up in the lymph nodes under my left arm, I do feel more confident, if only because there is now more known than unknown. Still, I'm uncomfortably aware, more so than ever, that I'm not in total control of anything, least of all my feelings. Most minutes I'm calm, confident, and just me. But sometimes I feel so sad I have to stop everything and weep. I learned to do that nearly 20 years ago in the months before my daughter Gretchen left for college. I carried Kleenex everywhere, caving into the urge to cry, whether in the supermarket checkout lane or rush hour traffic. And it paid off when the moment came to leave my precious only child on the sidewalk in front of her dormitory in Iowa City. I boohooed through two stoplights, and that was it. Amazing. I know that leaving a small part of my body in an operating room in Rochester, Minnesota is quite different, but similar in one major way. What I call mine in this life is really only on loan. So much for the me part of this week's awareness of breast cancer. Now for some wisdom shared by by some of the many, many kind and skillful professionals at Mayo, and also by survivors who've called and emailed me. From the radiologist who does painless core biopsies while recounting hilarious past Seinfeld episodes comes this warning: stay off the internet unless you are at a site such as the National Cancer Society, Mayo, or Johns Hopkins. As a journalist, I totally agree. There's tons of good stuff out there and even more junk. And nobody needs junk when dealing with cancer. From survivors right here in Cook County, I have reading recommendations. It's Not About the Bike, My Journey Back to Life by Lance Armstrong. What to Eat If You Have Cancer by Maureen Keene and Daniela Chase. And my latest favorite, a gift from a friend who knows me too well, Cancer Vixen, a cartoon autobiography by breast cancer survivor Marissa Acocella Marchetto. I save the best for last. Dear friends, please know that if you get cancer, your attitude will neither kill nor cure you. The National Cancer Society spells out myths about cancer, and a big one is that good attitudes lead to good outcomes. Now, a myth like that virtually condemns the depressed, the congenitally snarly, or anyone besides Little Miss Sunshine among us to the charnel house. Fortunately, our bodies, if not our relationships, are just as likely to survive cancer whether we go cheerfully or wailing like banshees into the whole scary business. Now, isn't that a relief? As this column is hitting newsstands and mailboxes, I hope to be heading home following surgery. In my mind's eye, I can already see the geese on the pond gone, the carpet of gold aspen coins erasing all trace of gravel on the driveway, and our slightly cracked goat Lucky striding around the edges of the lawn, showing off his silver duct tape horn. Life is good, still.